Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. If you're watching out on our YouTube channel or WNST-TV and Baltimore Positive video sphere, you'll see that I am, for the first time in a little while, wearing my shoulder pad-free 2001 Baltimore Ravens jersey. We're celebrating all things Super Bowl and championship. Bringing on all the legends here. We began our journey with head coach Brian Billick, but we're making our way through the coaching staff and the roster and finding out where are they now. Mike Smith disappeared at some point from Tampa Bay, went off into the mountains of Tennessee. I find him once or twice a year, and every time I call him, he says, look, now I'm not watching football this week. Now, I'm here in the mountains. I'm having a good time with my family. Can't talk about Lamar too much because I'm not watching the Ravens every week. And I think to myself, good for you, Mike Smith. So I hope you picked up a new hobby besides writing and leadership and all the fun that you weren't having when you were off coaching the Atlanta Falcons and the Jacksonville Jaguars. But 20 years ago was fun, right? It was fun to win championships, wasn't it?
Oh, my goodness. It's the best, man. There's nothing better than winning a Super Bowl. And, we did it right. I remember that night very vividly.
Yeah. I've been looking through the pictures and, I haven't fingered through the book. And I brought this up with Coach, and I guess I'll start the conversation with you in this way, because you coached when it was fun. You coached when it was miserable, hired, fired, kicked out, brought in, all, winning playoff games, losing play, all that. You've experienced all of that. But there's something for me when I think about 20 years ago, and I just like to think about the pictures, but I think about being there and being a part of it, that there was a lot of fun to be had, and there was a thought from the top down that everybody was having a pretty good time. And I've been around teams that won that didn't have any fun, Coach.
Yes, it was fun. Let me tell you, Brian had put together not only a great staff that knew football, but they knew how to have fun. And of course, that squad that we had, man, that was something. Those guys really had a good time. They understood when it was time to work, but they also knew when it was time to sit back and play. And I think that was one of the things that Brian did such a good job was balancing that. Through good times, bad times, we were always going to have fun. And that's something that I took when I left Baltimore to go to Jacksonville and go to Atlanta, is to make sure that we always had fun, because it's a stressful job. Like you said, lots of guys go through this, win a bunch of games, but never have any fun. They're miserable.
And I feel like I've experienced that, having done this most of my adult life, over 35 years. And I think, man, that's a miserable situation. And I guess maybe it even leads me a little bit into the current conversation of Tom Brady choosing to come down to Tampa. You once chose to go to Tampa. The weather's nice. All that's going on. But playing in a place where you can go and win, right? And that everybody's not so tight about things. And I think the league's changed a lot. And I know I talked to Brian about that. I'm going to talk to Jack Del Rio, who's still in the game. You just left the game more recently. But the game changed a lot in that way, did it not?
It has. It really has. I think over the last 5-6 years has probably changed more than any 5-6 year period in terms of how things are being done, how many coaches you have on your coaching staff, how many on scouting staff. I mean, it's just exploded. It's just crazy in terms of the number of people now that are involved in an NFL football team.
For you, with the memories of 20 years ago and thinking about it, even that night with your wife and you're winning and there's the trophy and I'm going to get a ring and all that, to think of what it does afterward, right? Because we're all striving to win the Super Bowl in our life, whatever that is, whether it's your child's graduation or a wedding day or a special thing or getting a job, whatever that promotion, whatever that thing would be, that's the next thing, reaching for the brass ring. To think about all that winning and that period of time that it opened doors for so many of you. And I guess I'm going to probably wind up talking to all of you about the journey of winning that game versus losing, or even losing in Tennessee 2 weeks before, or Oakland or whatever, that if it didn't happen, that the pathway for so many of you would have been so different.
Nestor, you're so right. I mean, it's such a fine line, especially in the National Football League, from success to non-success. And, winning that Super Bowl in 2000, it changed so many people's lives. And if you look back at it, you can see on that coaching staff how many guys had an opportunity to do things at other places and go on and be head coaches. I think besides the things that we did on the football field, what Brian and Ozzie did putting together that organization, it's a feather in their cap in terms of the guys that left that organization and went on to be very, very, very successful guys throughout the National Football League. Not only coaches, scouts, general managers.
Well, you all take a little piece of other pieces, right? I mean, I think that that's conceptually everybody would understand that, but if you're just watching the games and whether it's Rex or Jack or Marvin or any of the people that Matt Cavanaugh went on, that you take pieces of what Brian gave you and then piece on to the next person, whomever it is that you work for, to try to build pieces off of that. And I think we're seeing that with Andy Reid's tree right now, right? I mean, John Harbaugh being a part of that, that all of these coaches, there becomes a system. And of course, if you're a part of the Billick system, you're really a part of the Walsh system, right?
Oh, absolutely. It goes back to Bill Walsh. And, you know, Bill had a number of guys go on and be very, very successful. But with Brian, the guys that went on, I mean, we've all taken parts of what Brian did, which comes from Bill Walsh. And then we take parts of what, like what Marvin's, you know, what Marvin's done. There's little silos that you work in throughout your career. And there's always the good pieces that you try to take from the people that you're around. And I was very fortunate to be on that defensive staff with all those guys that you mentioned. And there's things that Rex did that I used in Atlanta, that I used in Jacksonville. You know, you take those pieces, and that's how you become your style of a coach. And I owe it all to, you know, to the guys that I worked with, because you've got to watch what they're doing, because they're very, very successful. And when you know you're around successful coaches and successful players, you take pieces and you go, I'm going to remember that, and I'm going to do that when I have an opportunity to use that style. And you build your own.
Mike Smith is here, former head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, but more importantly, on the staff of the Super Bowl 35 Ravens. My wife says hello. She's waving in the window here. She'd be doing that all day here. I think she's going to run around now and say hello, because that's what she does.
Oh, that's great.
So she's waving. Yeah, her hair's long. Girl. My hair's long too, man. How you handling the pandemic, Smitty? You know, you're down there on a hill somewhere, right? Like, give everybody a little update on what's going on in the snow on the mountain down there in Tennessee.
Well, we're spending a lot of time here in the mountains. This time of the year, it's kind of, you understand why they call it the Smoky Mountains. You got the fog and everything that's going on, but we're getting ready to head south to Florida for about a month. We try to get out of these mountains this time of the year. We're going to spend a little time in Atlanta and then head down to Florida, and lots of golf. Lots of fishing.
Someday I'll get to Augusta with you. I swear to God I will. One point. But it's got to be when they have the azaleas. I don't want to go to Augusta in, like, November. You know what I mean? Like, the whole year was weird, right? I mean, everything about it. I guess you picked a really good time to exit.
You know, people have said, do you miss it? And I said, no, I don't. And they said, well, how would you be handling this situation? I said, I don't know. You know, it's uncharted waters that we've gone through this past football season. There's no doubt about it.
For you, seeing Tampa involved in this, seeing Tom Brady involved in this, seeing Bruce Arians, a lot of people you know, some guys you coached. Give me a little, and I don't know if you've been watching a lot. You can see, you're allowed to say, I'm not watching it. That's cool too. But I think playoffs maybe a little bit, and certainly you've drawn up a few game plans to stop Tom Brady. That was never easy when he was 23 or 33. Now he's 43.
Yeah, no, they've had a great season. Tom Brady, especially here the second half of the season, I think they're on like a 7-game run. It kind of reminds me a little bit of, the run that we had in 2000. It's, you get on that roll and you never know what's going to happen. And it's such a fine line from being successful in the NFL and not being successful. And they are playing really good ball offensively. I watched a little bit of the game. I caught the second half of the ball game, and it looks like he's got a complete command of his offense, and it surely looks like it's his offense there in Tampa. He's running the show. He's done a great job.
it's been an amazing thing to import players, right? Like, you've been in places where you're signing a free agent or bringing someone in or bringing in a cast of characters. Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, Tom Brady, and Dominican Sue, quite a cast that's been imported. And I would say that, you know, look, you coached in Jacksonville, you coached in Tampa. It's easy to recruit to places where the weather's nice, right? It's different than lacing it up in Green Bay. And certainly for Brady, who's done it in the cold for 20 years in Michigan and all that, that there's something about doing it and having sunshine on certain days in December that you wouldn't have it. And I think there's been accusations that make it seem soft, you know, over the course of time. But there is a point where you pick this circumstance, and Bruce Arians picked the circumstance, and everything sort of lines up to give yourself a chance to win. They're in their home stadium, even though it won't be crowded.
Yeah, it won't be crowded, unfortunately. You know, first time playing it, you know, playing at home in the Super Bowl era. So that's something different. You know, Florida's a great place to live in terms of the weather. It's also great for your income taxes. And I think that helps, you know, that helps the Florida, you know, the Florida teams as well, is, you know, they have very favorable income taxes. And that's one of the selling points, I think, when you are talking to free agents about coming to the state of Florida.
Whether How do they not win more often then, Coach? Well, come on.
What's that?
How do they not win more often, any of them?
Well, yeah. Well, there's lots of distractions that come with no income tax. Let me tell you, there's lots of distractions in the state of Florida.
There's no doubt about that. And right now, all eyes on Tampa. Did you ever walk into that stadium and get a little flashback? Because, I mean, you could actually coach there. I'll be honest, Smitty, when I land there, you know, coming in on a Dale Mabry, and I look off the right side of the aircraft and I see the stadium, all I think about is this.
Yeah, you know, it's really true with me, too, Nestor. You know, I remember, you know, going over to the West Shore and getting stuck in traffic after that win. It took us, you know, we got over there, but our families didn't get there. I remember this so vividly. They got stuck in traffic for 2.5 hours, and it's only like a 3-mile ride to the, you know, to the party that we had after the, you know, after the game. You know, a lot of our families didn't get there until well after midnight. But I remember walking in the very first time when I went back to the Bucks, going in and going around that stadium and going, hey, this is the seat that I sat in when I was sitting in the press box calling games for the Bucks. It was the exact seat that I sat in the exact booth that, you know, that we sat in the Super Bowl.
Because you were the home team.
Yes, we were. Hey, we were the home team, and we were looking. I can remember it like it was nothing. And the one thing I remember about that booth more than anything was when we left with about 8 minutes to go in that ball game. You know, Brian said, come on down. You know, it's like, we knew we could have played 12 quarters that day, and I don't think they would have scored on our defense. You know, they scored, you know, on the kickoff return, but I don't think they would have scored a touchdown on us if we would have played 12 quarters that day. That's how dominant that defense was, and that's how dominant Marvin's game planning was that week. It was just unbelievable
how that incredible football players, right, and special people 20 years later, you know what I mean? Like, I get together with all the, you know, almost all the players on the team that when they come back to Baltimore, I get a text. Chris Redman's coming on this week. I know another one of your favorites as well from down in Atlanta, and Rod Woodson and Goose, and it's something that sort of marks everyone's life in a really, really special way. You know that then, but 20 years to the date later, when we all stop and talk about it a little bit, it makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up.
Absolutely. It makes, hey, you get goosebumps thinking about it. You know, that's one of those days that you'll never forget. You know, you remember getting married. You maybe remember graduating from, you know, from college. These are one of those days that you'll never, ever forget. And that group of men that we, you know, that we were with, they were fantastic. I mean, that season, just, you know, you've chronicled it. That season is just unbelievable how that thing played out and how we went through that postseason. It was just unbelievable.
So Smitty, I've been on bus trips all over the East Coast, right? Like whether it's Tennessee, New Orleans, my wife did the Super Bowl trip, Charlotte, you know, all, and we always would show the film of Super Bowl 35. I've seen the game a million times. I've been through all of my own pictures and, you know, all my archives and the ring and all that other stuff. But then I still find stuff. And about 3 weeks ago during Christmas, I was looking through some old stuff and I found this picture that I didn't even know I had. And a fan gave it to me. And it's kind of iconic in that if you see the facility over here where we came out of, this is the same picture where the Mayflowers left with our football team. And it was taken from the same vantage point of the trophy coming back with David. And so I've shown this to a bunch of people, but just finding old things for you, when you think about it, what's the image that you think the most about?
Well, it's funny you say about finding old things. My wife was doing some cleaning, and she found a sweatsuit that we got when from that Super Bowl. And she said, do you still want this? I said, heck yeah, I still want it. She says, what are you going to do with it? I said, it will be something that we'll never get rid of. That sweat, you know, that sweatshirt that
when
you got.
When I look at it, it makes me
that's
happy.
Right. That's right. She says, well, it won't fit you. It's a double X. You know, you were a little bigger then. And I said, that doesn't matter. We're going to keep that stuff. She says, you're crazy about how you keep all that stuff. But those things that you have from that Super Bowl, I'm looking at the jersey you're wearing, Jonathan Ogden's, you know, jersey, and it's got the emblem on it. Those things are so cool, and we just got a nice package from the Ravens because we're going to have a virtual get-together.
I saw the bottle of wine. Everybody's been sharing that.
Yeah, a nice bottle of wine and two nice cigars, and I think there you go.
I keep Arthur B here, you know, on the table behind me. And I do that as an ode to Art because, you were in Art's office, I'm sure, at some point. He had all of his friends on the wall. And he would say, these are my dead friends on the wall. These are my friends. So I keep Art back here to keep him close because, you know, all this was made possible through all of that. And I think of Art that night and the cuckooing nuts and being in the room when he broke down and it really was something, man. I got Stokely coming on. I was in the end zone where he caught the ball. He was running right at me. I was about five rows up, and I watched the ball landed. And I said, there's no way we're losing tonight. Right underneath the Buccaneers ship, you know?
Yep. Yeah, no. You still have those vivid memories, don't you? They're like they happened yesterday. And you were a big part of it, as you know. And being a longtime Baltimore native, it had to be exciting, not only for you and your friends, but the whole city. I mean, I cannot tell you how fun it was to go to that parade and go down the streets of Baltimore and experience that. I think those are the things that, besides the game, that you remember. You remember the fans, you know.
Smitty, I'm going to share on Saturday. I'm going to share this. Mike Flynn, I went down. I didn't even talk to Brian about this. I'll talk to Flynn about it because we always talk about it. I went down to the parade, the morning of the parade. I was sick as a dog. I got sick in Florida, right, doing all the stuff we were doing. And I didn't want to ride in the parade because the weather was bad. And Billick said, get him on a float. He's got to ride in the parade. I'm like, I got a show at the barn tonight. I only came down here to get players. I got Spencer and Kyle and Kim Herring and Flynn and Mulatalo was doing a fire dance up at the barn that night. And Billy says, we got to get him in the thing. I'm like, I'm not dressed for it. I didn't have a camera. I didn't have anything. I was literally just down getting gas, sniffling. And Flynn says, look, get up on me and Spencer, ride with us, and you can hold the camera. And you remember the little cameras?
Yeah.
So I rode in the parade and I held the camera the whole way. That was my job. And there was a point where Flynn turned the camera on me and I turned the camera on him and I had all of it. And I visited with him about a month later. I was down in Florida for spring training. The Orioles were training down there. And I was at his condo and I saw the little tape. And I said, dude, give me that tape. That's the parade tape. Give me that. I want to digitize it so I have it. He's like, no, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. Smitty took 19 and a half years. He found the tape. He FedExed it to me in June. In the middle, the plague made him clean his garage. He found the tape. He sent it to me. I've digitized it. So I have the entire parade on digital, and I'm going to share that on Saturday for everybody. How about that?
Oh, that's going to be great, man. That'll be fantastic.
I don't know how many other people have a copy. I was very, very worried that Flynn and I work blue. We did not. I listened to it, that we don't say anything stupid in it. And remembering that day is really, really special. Man, I hope we can get together at some point and get a sandwich. I mean, we don't see each other at Super Bowls, combines. They're not even having a combine. And I'm not getting to Eastern Tennessee anytime soon, Smitty. So we need to have a Super Bowl 35 reunion here in Baltimore. We need to go out and do it proper. What do you think?
Yeah, well, we need to. It's a shame that we're not being able to have a 20th reunion where everybody's together. It would, you know, that would be so much fun. We're going to have fun doing it virtually, but we need to do it. And remember, Nestor, we're going to get down and do that Augusta trip. I know we weren't able to do it because of Jennifer, but we're going to get that done before too long.
You know, I've been for 20 years now talking about going to Augusta. You know, I'm not the world's biggest golf guy. I turned down an Augusta trip. I turned down a Pro Bowl trip to do the parade 20 years ago. I was supposed to go to Hawaii for sporting news, and I said, nah, there's only going to be one parade. And there was a second one, thankfully, but there's only going to be one parade. I got to be there. So all these years later, I missed out on a Pro Bowl, and then I turned down a chance to go to the Masters in 2001. So stupid me, but I'll get there. I'll get there at some point. We'll all get there. Stay safe up on the mountain. Stay safe down in Florida. It is always good to hear your voice. See, when are you going to write another book, man?
Well, I've started one. It's the tough thing is finishing it, as you well know. You know, I got to stop golfing and I got to stop fishing to get back on that book. But
which is going better, the golfing or the fishing?
Oh, gosh. You know, a guy told me I'm not good enough to complain on the golf course, and that's helped my golf game a lot.
You're kind of a competitive guy. It's sort of built into you, though. Smitty, I appreciate you, man. It's really great to visit with you, especially 20 years. We'll always have Tampa, my friend. Remember that.
That's right. Well, hey, we've got a lot of other memories, too, at Super Bowls after that one, but it's nothing like winning that one in 2000.
Well, we'll get back together again sometime soon. Hopefully get you back up here for a real football game where fans can come together. I can wear my purple suit and have some fun. It's been a rough year, but it's been made better by visiting with people like you. I appreciate you, Smitty. Stay safe, okay?
Okay. All right, Nestor. God bless.
Head coach Mike Smith, he's in my personal Hall of Fame. He's down on a mountain somewhere in the Smoky Mountains and enjoying semi-retirement and fishing and the memories of a beautiful night in Tampa back on January 28th, 2001. I'm going to deliver that videotape of the parade. I'm going to have more stories. We're going to have Hall of Famers and great visits. You can find it all out at WNST and Baltimore Positive.